A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, my name is Jess Phillips, and this is Yours Sincerely. I've always been a prolific letter writer, both the good and bad kind, and know the power of putting words to paper. So in this podcast, I want to give my guests a chance to celebrate three people that mean the world to them. Someone they love, someone who's no longer around, and someone who doesn't realise how significant a role they've played in their lives. And when we've heard more about each person, they'll reveal how they would sign off each letter. Laura Adlington is a baker, podcast host, and fashion and lifestyle influencer. In 2020, she was a finalist on the Great British Bake Off. Now she's a presenter on Steph's Packed Lunch and co-hosts the podcast Go Love Yourself. Today I'm excited to talk to her about the letters she would send to three people who mean the world to her. Laura, how are you?
I'm good. I'm very excited to be on this podcast. This might sound a little bit odd to you, but I really like your voice. I find it really like... really soothing and like, you just got a really nice voice.
Somebody once told me that in Israel, specifically in Tel Aviv, that they find the Birmingham accent to be very sexy, and that they this person had seen a job advert in Tel Aviv in a bar saying that they were looking for staff that specifically had to have Birmingham accent. So you and the people of Tel Aviv are...
Just us, no one else.
I really like that you think my voice is soothing. I think I sound like a man.
No, I really like it. In a really non-pervy way, can I just say?
You perv away, Laura, I don't mind.
Okay.
You know, no judgment here. So this podcast is all about letter writing, although I'm definitely going to talk to you about like baking as well and get some good recipes. You know, I won the Bake Off when I went on it.
You did. You did very well.
I did. But only because the people I was up against...
were shit.
They didn't like know what an onion was. I have both eaten and cooked food before.
Yes.
And even if that is just like making fish fingers, mash and peas for my kids every day, that would have been... I was basically a cordon bleu chef compared to them. So it was not really... I didn't win in a level playing field.
Right, you're just the best of a bad bunch. Today.
I think I was the best of a bad bunch. And one of them didn't even turn up for the second day. So, you know, I mean, really, it was a depleting field that I was, big nasty.
Yeah.
One day
was he ill or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was.
He just couldn't be bothered. Was he hungover?
Ill, apparently.
Ill in air quotes. Yeah. I thought that. I knew that. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't wish to slander the good name of Big Nasty, but he didn't come the next day. He was very, he was a lot of fun on the day that he was there, though.
Yeah,
he wrote a brilliant rap about me.
Did he?
I feel like I'm 100 years old now saying this. Like, he wrote a brilliant rap about me. I sound like...
I'm going to need you to like recite it.
Well, it was... I can't remember exactly how it went, but it was called Treasure Chest.
Right.
And it was because I was talking to him about when I eat things, because obviously you're eating quite a lot of things that, like, at the time I had quite big boobs. I don't know, so, well, they're still quite big, but not as big as they were. And, you know, like, you might understand this, things fall down your bra.
Oh, always crumbs.
Yeah, like crumbs.
Yeah, sausages.
Yeah,
loads of things. Yeah,
I've like taken my bra off at night, and there's been like 20p in there.
Yeah,
and, like,
it's like midnight snack Lego. Central, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
there's
what's
always
edible?
Crumbs. There is always crumbs without question, or like a Skittle. and I was telling him this, and he was absolutely enamoured. And so he basically started saying this ditty that was called Treasure Chest about, which was really clever.
That's really clever, yeah.
He came up with it just on the spot. I was like that. No way, you're like Shakespeare.
Genius.
Yeah, I am. I'm a keen baker, really. Now, after doing that, and, you know, obviously being a star baker.
Obviously.
That I am. So, do you write many letters? Do you make biscuits and send them to people with notes written on the biscuits? That would be a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a bad human for not doing that now. Thank you.
I've received a note on a biscuit.
Have you?
On more than one occasion.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. No, I've never done that.
A woman sent me a massive biscuit to the office. When I say massive, I mean like the size of a table.
What?
And it was like, you know, good luck in the election. This is to keep you and the team going. It's like a table.
Oh, that's so nice. That's really cute. No, mm-hmm. I don't really like making biscuits, if I'm going to be honest, because like you can buy them for 30p from Tesco's. Like, why? Why do people spend their life making biscuits? Like,
you're
I make
right.
the old shortbread with my nieces, but honestly, like,
they are not as good as the ones you buy at the supermarket.
They're
you're
just
right.
not, are they? So
yeah. Controversial point. My husband says he's never watching the Bake Off ever again until they bring Pie Week back. Discuss.
Yeah, fair point.
Fair point.
Why did they get rid of Pie Week? It was the best. I would have smashed that week to
yes.
shit. I would have absolutely annihilated them all. I love
also,
a pie.
Did you know they don't have pies in France? My sister-in-law is French.
Pies.
And she didn't know what a pie was.
Oh, no. Can I swear on this podcast?
Yeah, you can okay. say whatever the fuck,
fuck
you
off.
Want.
Fuck off. They don't have pies in France.
Like, you know, they have, like, tarts. They have. It's not like they aren't aware of pastry. They just aren't aware you can put it
well,
on
yeah,
top
yeah, I mean, they're pretty
things.
Famous for their pastry, yes. But, like,
yes.
Jesus Christ. Like, how could you not have a pie? So I mean, to be fair, they're quite delicate, aren't they? Like, in France, I mean. Whereas we're over here, we're just like, give me pie and mash.
Yeah.
All the carbs.
If they just turned over a tort.
Yeah.
on the plate. It would be a pie. And actually, when you make a tarte tatin, you put the pastry on top, don't you? And then you
yeah.
bake it and then
yeah,
you turn it
knows,
out.
She knows. She knows.
I've made a tarte tatin a few times in my life. So actually, that is a pie.
It is kind of, no, I feel like the definition of a pie is that it has a lid, right?
It has a lid and a bottom. I don't
yeah,
like
it's got,
a pie
I have a bottom.
Without a bottom as well.
Yeah,
although,
it's not a soggy bottom. We can't do soggy bottom.
Short crust on the bottom. Puff on the
puff
top.
Puff on top. That is the best pie combination. What's the best filling, though? What's the best filling?
You know, I like all the pie fillings, I think.
Yeah?
I like anything in a pie. I often just like to make a dinner and then just turn it into a pie the next day. So, you know, like a bœuf bourguignon, whack it in a pie.
Oh, nice. Good idea. Yeah, that is, yeah.
I mainly like a chicken and mushroom from the fish and chip shop. They're the best chicken and mushroom pies.
Oh, they're so good. They're like... Well, they're really crapper, aren't they? Like, really bad quality, but they
just
taste amazing. Is it the pucker
delicious.
Pies, isn't it?
It's
and,
delicious.
Like, you've got to tip it upside down, so there's, like, jellified pastry on the bottom,
delicious.
And then you flip it over so that, yeah, oh, they're so good with, like, loads of really big fat chips. You're making me hungry now.
I'm going out for dinner at Birmingham University with the Vice-Chancellor, so hopefully they'll be serving pies.
Nah.
Pucker pies. but you never know. So are you much of a letter writer now that I know
no,
you're a pie
not really.
Enthusiast? No.
Pie enthusiast, yes. Letter writer, probably not so much. I mean, I can't actually remember the last letter that I wrote. That's really bad, isn't it?
Not really. Do you write Christmas cards or cards to people to say thank you or...
Yeah, I do that. I do that. But I find because I'm like, I do everything digitally now, even like writing things down, like I'm like, my handwriting is so bad because I'm just not used to it. I should write more. I would like to write more.
Do you send yeah. lots of emails to people you love there?
No. Probably come on the wrong podcast, haven't I?
I mean, Laura, I feel like your family and friends deserve better. That's all I can say. Do you send them cakes?
Oh, this is the thing, right? So this, I'm sure this is like everyone that's going to Bake Off is like, you cannot go anywhere without people being like, oh, where's the cake? And it gets so boring, honestly. Like,
yeah.
It's like, you,
well,
yeah.
Well, I'm gonna say, Laura, that's slightly better than everybody for 4 years of your life talking to you about Brexit.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'd rather someone ask me about cake than the European Union.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world, but yeah. No, I do. I love to bake for people that I love. Like, that is, I think, probably the reason why I got into it, really. Giving someone, spending time on something and making something lovely for someone and then having them enjoying it,
mm-hmm.
like, that's a really nice feeling.
My husband just bought me a cup of tea and I imagine that
that's nice.
He also likes to make things for people.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, that was cute.
I can't get my husband to pick up his pants from the floor, so...
Really? Oh, God.
No, I mean,
yeah,
well...
husband.
Yeah.
My husband moans at me. I'm the husband in this situation.
Oh, yeah.
I leave my pants on the floor. In fact, this morning, because the cleaner came, he had gone round and picked up all my knickers from around the bed because he didn't,
he's,
you know,
savage.
To try and save my blushes about the cleaner. See, like, me and the cleaner were like besties. I don't care if she sees my knickers, if I'm honest, but we're oversharers, me and my cleaner.
Nice. Love it.
Do you have any letters that you keep, though? Do you have any, like, special letters written by somebody, like love letters or letters from the Queen or the letter that you... Did you get a letter to say that you'd got on to Bake Off?
No, they phoned me. Oh. It was the same day we went into lockdown. Like, literally, on the lunchtime, they phoned me, like, you've made it into the tent. And I was like, no. Oh, my God. So excited. And then literally 5 o'clock, so 2 hours after, I just phoned, like, my family and, like, my best friend... Then Boris, we watched it. I used to work in a comm scene. We had it on the telly in the room and it was like, the world's going to end. And we're like, oh, great. I do have, speaking of letters, so one letter that I do have that like is really, really important to me is from my stepmum. And it was given to me by my dad on my wedding day about, well, this is really bad, I don't remember, 3.5, 4 years ago. So, like, my mum and dad split up when I was, like, 16, 17. Like, it was just, like, the worst time ever. Like, I think I was going through, like, a really horrible period. Like, I didn't really have any friends. I was a complete loser at school. And I just hated it, basically. And I, like, didn't really have, like, boyfriends. I had, like, no self-esteem, like, confidence issues. And then that happened. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh. It was the worst.
That is
bad. And, but my stepmom came into my life and... She's just, like, the most amazing person. Like, she's so special. Like, I absolutely love my mum. Like, we get on really well. But my mum, like, I guess a lot of people have, like, sort of, I don't say strange relationships with their mothers, but, like, it can be kind of difficult, I guess. Like, my mum was always on a diet, right? Mm. So always worried about appearance and things like that. And when I met Maria... She's just so, like, she just doesn't give a shit about anything like that. She's like, mate, it's just vanity. You're a long time dead. Don't be a tart. Like, she just, she's
Can
so,
I just say,
like...
That one sentence makes me think that she is the greatest woman alive.
You would get on really well, actually. You're actually quite similar. But she's, like, she's an NHS community nurse. So she deals with, like, the dead and the dying all day, right? So her humour is very, it's quite dark. Because I think in that job, like, it just has to be. Because you just laugh to kind of, to cope.
It's like... working in domestic abuse services, you know, the amount of gallows humour, and if you didn't, you wouldn't get through it.
Exactly, yeah. So she's hilarious. She taught me all these, like, weird and wonderful sayings, and, yeah, like, talking of pies, she always used to say, like, if we had a dinner and it was, like, I don't know, a bit kind of like salad or whatever, she'd be like, oh, air pie and a walk round, that is, air pie and a walk round. And she's just so funny, and she's the person really that got me into baking, because she used to say to me, to feed someone is to love them. And I just love that. I think that's so nice. So I've definitely had a lot of love and a lot of really good hot dinners from Maria. But yeah, so on my wedding day, she just wrote me a lovely letter, and it just had me, like, crying my eyes out. She was just saying, like, we are really close, and she was just saying about how proud she was of me. Like, not because I was getting married. She was like, I couldn't give a toss about that. Because she was, she just said, I'm just really proud to know you and just to love you. And I'm so, you know, honoured that I get to be in your life. And yeah, it was just really lovely.
I'm going to try not to cry, Laura.
Oh.
My mother-in-law, who was like a second mum to me. My mum died when I was 29, so 11 years ago. And my mother-in-law, she... became like a mum to me. And in fact I wrote a book last Mother's Day called, just a little book called Mother, and I dedicated it to my mother-in-law, and I dedicated it to all the mother-in-laws and stepmoms who I feel literature has given a dreadful write-up to, because stepmoms get presented as, like, they're basically going to poison you or lock you in a cellar. Those are the options for stepmoms. And stepdads are only going to abuse you. Like, that's it. Those are, you know, like, stepmoms and dads get such a dreadful write-up in literature. And mother-in-laws are just horrible nags who everybody hates and rolls their eyes at. And that is just not my experience of stepmotherhood in my own family. But also not of mother-in-laws, but very, very sadly, my mother-in-law died on Friday. very suddenly.
Sorry.
Yeah, so luckily, actually, in the meaning of this podcast, I didn't feel like there was anything I'd left unsaid with her. She knew that I loved her, and I knew she loved me and the kids and my husband. But it is like mother-in-laws and stepmoms deserve way better than they get.
Yeah.
So that is a lovely thing to hear
about. You've got me going now. I've got complete shiny eyes. Jesus Christ, what's wrong with me?
Also, the sort of the people who choose you, choose to make you their mums. Like, if you treat somebody like they're your granny, they will start to be your granny. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing, is if you treat somebody like they're your mum, and or that they're like a mum to you,
yeah, then that's it.
They will behave that way.
I actually put in a mother's card this year, "I didn't fall out of your fanny, but I love you like I did," or something like that.
I'm never not lecturing my children about what they did to my fanny. So I sort of like people better who didn't fall out of my fanny, because I when I sit down, I'm not reminded of them.
Or jumping up and down.
Yeah, exactly. When I desperately need a wee and cannot wait, I don't really dislike my son's friends. Whereas I think my £10, 10-ounce son, I think this was you, mate.
I do wonder whether it is like easier. Like I said, I think with mums, it can be quite a, like, I would choose to be friends with her. Like, she just, she's just an amazing person. Like, she really is. And she doesn't know it either. Like, that's the other thing. Like, I don't know. She's just really special. And I think for me as well, like growing up, like always the fat kid, always the fat teenager or whatever. And she just doesn't give a shit about appearances. And I really love that. I think it's so refreshing in this day and age.
Yeah.
And so like when I got on like Bake Off and like things I've been doing since, like I do a lot on plus size fashion on like my Instagram and that, because it's really hard when you're bigger to find nice clothes.
Yeah.
And she'll just text me going, "You look like a twat in that dress." And I love that. And she bought me a t-shirt for Christmas, right, which said "Lost in Showbiz." There's like no harm, no risk, sorry, of having an ego with her.
I love it. I think you're right though about the whole sort of, you know, like being big and like the world is not made for. I've got a friend, Jess, who recently, she lost absolutely shed loads of weight. But she was like, people treat her like morally she's a different person now.
Yeah.
Like, so from being able to see it from both sides of the coin, like she has a different morality.
Yeah.
She's the same person. She thinks the same thing. She behaves in many of the same ways. Almost exactly the same. Her morality hasn't changed, but there was some sort of moral defect of her being fat, essentially.
Yeah, and it's true. And it's, you know, something that I'm really trying to kind of fight against. I think, growing up, I always felt like I was less of a person. And it's strange. I always think that when you're in a bigger body, you're kind of invisible to the world, but you're also hyper visible. And, you know, you're either kind of desexualized or fetishized as a bigger kind of person, as a woman especially. And I think we have an obsession, I was about to say as a nation, but I think it's worldwide, that this obsession that like thin is good and fat is bad. And it's not about health. It's a lot of the time it's under the guise of health, but it's not. It's about thin. Thin is good. Fat is bad. And I think, I do think things are getting better, but we're not there yet. I just don't like the way that we are treated like second class citizens. There are a lot of reasons basically why people are bigger. It's a lot more nuanced than kind of like being lazy or just not moving more and kind of eating less. It's very easy on paper. Like, I have been guilty of looking at other people and being like, it's not hard, Sharon, like eat less, move more. But actually, honestly, the reality of it, when you are bigger and this kind of like compulsive eating and stuff, we're going a bit deep here, aren't we? But it is very difficult. I would like there to be a bit more compassion and a bit more understanding for people in bigger bodies.
I've had disordered eating all of my life.
Have you?
All of my life. I've been incredibly thin and fat. I've been both morbidly obese and dangerously underweight, and I sort of, actually it was the lockdown that broke it a little bit for me, just a sort of ability to sort of focus on health, I think, more. And yeah. because it was a pandemic that was about your health, I just became really weary of my health and moving more and things. Also, I'm not going to lie, Laura, I just had some cosmetic surgery. I had my boobs made smaller.
Oh, nice.
Good so, you know, there's no moving more. There's just paying more. there's no morality in what I did. But I just paid to have my boobs made smaller. And, yeah, the amount of eating that is emotional. And if you don't have that, you don't understand it.
That's the thing, I think. Yeah.
I mean, if you, it's like anything, you can't explain motherhood to somebody who doesn't have a child, or certainly not the downsides of it to somebody who might want to have a child. It, you end up just sounding like an absolute knob who's ungrateful. But yeah, you can't explain disordered eating to somebody who hasn't had it. It's like, I imagine it's like any addiction and disordered substance misuse.
It's so true. And like, I think it's important to say that, like, you can't be addicted to food because it's like something you need to live. It's like saying I'm addicted to oxygen, but the feeling of feeling addicted to food is like, is very real. Like, yeah, definitely an emotional eater. Like, I eat when I'm happy and I'm sad, and
it's not about just like, I'm very sad and I'm gonna eat ice cream as if I'm like Rachel from Friends and I've just had my boyfriend break up with me. It's not like that. It's not and also, like, she ever ate any cream,
ice cream.
It's like those people who say I can just eat anything, and I think you don't eat six packets of biscuits in one sitting, so you can't eat anything. I do that. You too would look like me if you did that. I can eat anything. You don't.
Yeah.
Whereas I do eat anything.
Or they'll have like a McDonald's burger, but that's all they'll eat all day, so it's like, yeah, that's why you're slim. Like, I'll have that and my dinner and some chocolate. Like, yeah, it's a struggle, and it's weird for me because, like, I've always been like quite disciplined in my other areas of my life, and I've always had, like, you know, a really good steady job, and, like, you know, my good marriage, like friendships and work-wise and everything as well. Just the food thing, I just have never been able to really get a grip on it. But I don't know, we've all got our
biases.
Every
time I think that I have got a grip on it, which I did for about the last 2 years, you know, it will start to slip away from you, and maybe I can, you know, I'll get back in control of it. But I just think that's my whole life is just a cycle of disordered eating. I've sort of learned to accept that now. Like,
yeah.
And you desperately try not to give it to your children. Like, any of your disorders, trying. So you saying that your mom was always on a diet, my children know the carbs in everything, and that I'm done for. Frankly, I've ruined them already. I've broken them.
No,
I've given them many upsides, Laura. Don't worry, I've given them many upsides. That one little downside of having a disordered eating mother is I'm willing not to beat myself up too much about that.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. It's hard though. Like, I think we've all got kind of weird issues with food. Like, I think most people have at some level. But I think I've got to the age now where I just realise that actually, like, diets really don't work. And statistically, they don't. For 95% of people, they don't work. Like you said, I think the focus is more on health for me now. So
yeah.
I've always thought, if I exercise, it's because I need to burn something off, or because I need to lose weight. And now I'm trying to think, actually, why don't I exercise because I love my body rather than because I hate it and I want to punish it. Yeah. So it's like moving intuitively, eating intuitively. I'm trying, like, Christ, like, I don't expect anyone to kind of look to me for any advice as I am.
I won't be writing a diet book anytime soon, don't.
No, me neither, mate.
Like me
neither.
It's a stupid thing to try and do. So, I've asked you to think of three people who, essentially, that you're grateful for in one way or another, and think about the letter that you would write them. So, the first one is somebody who means the world to you. So, who are you going to pick?
So I'm actually picking again my stepmum. So I'll just, like, you can just skip over this bit because I've already gone on about her.
That's all right. It's good because we are not keeping to time and I am dreadful at this. So that's good that you're picking your stepmum. What's her name? Maria?
Maria, yeah.
Maria.
How do you solve a problem like Maria? yeah, no, she's just an incredible woman. And I think she came into my life at, like, a really crap time. And again, like I said before, like, I didn't really want her in my life. But then we just became, like, really good friends. It wasn't always easy. Like, I think the fact that my mum left my dad and then she moved into our family home, that was quite strange for me.
That's quite unusual as well.
It's very unusual, I think. Mm-hmm. So I had to adapt really quickly to there being like another mother figure in the house. But she cooked banging dinners, so I was well happy about that. Honestly, her philosophy is always like, she said that when she dies, she wants on her gravestone to have never knowingly undercated, because she hates people being hungry. So she used to literally cook dinners for 10 people just in case people popped in.
I think that's a working class thing. I think it's a working class trait. I see it mainly now in the sort of big Asian working class community in my constituency. That the idea that you won't go in and eat. And at the moment, we're about to go into Ramadan. Mm. And honestly, my house is going to be full of food, where people just run up and down the road and give it to you at like 9 o'clock at night. And I just think it is this idea that if you can feed somebody, you can set them on their way. And it's sort of the only control, I think, that a lot of working class people have. But my nan had it. Like, she'd say, I haven't got much in. I mean, you've come round and I wasn't expecting you. And then you'd walk into her living room and it would literally be a spread that, like, you know, the Queen had at her wedding. Yeah. It's just like, she's like, it's only a few Kit Kats. It's like, nan, this is more food than anyone could ever eat.
Yeah, I love that. My nan's the same. She's always got a drawer full of penguins, like no matter what.
Yams, chocolate bars, they just always have chocolate bars.
And the chocolate biscuits, yeah.
You couldn't make a penguin bar as good as a penguin bar, could you? I mean, you just literally couldn't.
That's what I mean. Why bother trying to make it when you can buy it and it's that good?
Yeah, and you get like 8 for £1 at Poundland.
Yeah, bargain. And they wonder why everyone's bloody fat.
Poundland, definitely. I mean, I'm bulk buying biscuits from Poundland. It's like in lockdown as well, it's just sort of like it was a treat to go to Poundland.
Yeah, it was though, wasn't it? It was like anything to get by.
Anything. It was brilliant. So you were in the tent during lockdown then?
Yeah, like I literally found out I was on
bake-off. Did you have to like live there?
Yeah. So we all bubbled up together for 7 weeks.
So you were away from your family?
Yeah. And I'm a real home bird, so I found it mentally very difficult, and physically as well. It was like long days. It was like 7 weeks, start to finish, working every day, like very, very long days, in the heat wave as well. And then,
and they make you wear the clothes that you were wearing at the start, like for continuity. And I wore a cardigan.
Yeah.
And a jumper. And then I was like, I'm going to fucking die in here. This, and I was only doing it for 2 days. Yeah. I was like, screw your continuity. And so then they had to film me really dramatically taking it off. And then they were like, but actually, you might need to put it back on again. I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. They were saying with the hair as well. They were like, you need to put your hair up at a certain point. Like, it's all continuity, I guess. I get it. But yeah, no, it was really intense filming it. Like, and it was really hard for me being away from like my family and my husband Matt, but yeah, it was amazing. Like, I'm really grateful for it, especially because like I get to do what I do now, which is really awesome. But yeah, it was a lot harder than I think. Like, people just think, oh, you're going on a baking show, and I'm like, yeah, no. And it, obviously, I was a big fan of the Bake Off before that, so it was a big dream like to go on it. I think.
How did you practice if you were all bubbled up? Were you in a house where you could practice?
So we all stayed in a hotel where it was filmed. Yeah. So we had 2 days filming and then 2 days practice. We had like practice kitchens next to our rooms in the hotel. So
I did a lot of practicing.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you would have done. You would have had to have done to get Star Baker.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I did a lot of practicing.
Yeah.
With my mother-in-law. I made honey biscuits out of the honey from her beehive.
Oh, that's so cute.
I mean, she's an absolutely incredible baker. We used to say that she should go on the Bake Off.
Really?
And that we were going to enter her. But she said, because she said, I wouldn't cope with the stress and I'd just say fuck and cunt every 5 seconds and then I'd get kicked off.
I did get told off once.
She's just like, I wouldn't be able to cope with any of the stress, and I just swear all the time.
Oh, I love her. Yeah, I love her.
But she was an amazing baker, actually. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, really, really, really amazing. So Maria, does she bake a lot?
This is the thing, right? So her dream job is to be a school dinner lady. I don't know why she isn't, actually.
My nan was a school dinner lady, hence the need to provide an enormous buffet.
Yeah. right? But she can't bake for shit. She hates baking. She just doesn't.
It's a bit sciencey, isn't it?
True, to be fair. And I have not got a logical brain, so I don't know why I like baking. But you're right, yeah. No, it is a more of a science thing, which I think was why Peter did so well.
Yeah, it's precise.
Yeah, yeah. Not my forte, that. Hence the Freddie
all
Mercury.
That, like, I mean, you are sort of taking the love out of it when you have to use a ruler. Do you know what I mean?
Thank you. Right? I don't want to put a ruler to it.
I just wanted to make some nice biscuits for the kids, and now I'm measuring out 2.5 inches.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, what the hell? Like, Everybody bakes with a ruler at home.
My bakes literally on Bake Off were like, looked like shit, tasted great. That was literally every single time. Pri was like, oh, I feel like I've got groundhog day again, Laura. She was like, looks a mess, tastes wonderful. I was like, okay, I'll take that.
Yeah, totally. Because, like, that's not how people actually live. It's like, my husband's, like, really annoyed that, like, now we all, like, say the word genuine sponge as if it's, like, common parlance. It's like, you know, in the early days of the Bake Off, it was like, oh, you know. A Genoese sponge was like an exciting thing.
Yeah,
and now,
yeah.
Like, all of the things that people do on the Bake Off are not pies, much to his chagrin. is like, oh, it's just like everybody knows now how to make, like, you know, egg white sponges. And
yeah, it's not so fancy.
It's not so fancy anymore. Yeah. It's like with Strictly Come Dancing, we can all be like Great Fleckle. No idea what I'm saying.
I love it, like, watching shows like Strictly, like, oh, her leg was way too low there.
Yeah, that's it.
Sat on my sofa, like, eating popcorn, like, stuffing
no
my
rise
face,
and
haven't
fall
moved
there.
For
no
days.
Rise and fall in that Viennese waltz. What the fuck do I know? I didn't even know what a Viennese waltz was. I mean, honestly,
I used
no
to do that all the time. I still do, though, like, considering my track record, and I'll be watching, like, the new series of Bake Off, and I'm like, oh, idiot, why did I do that? I would have done that.
Oh, dear. So, how would you sign off a letter to Maria, then? How would you...
You're a massive cunt, and I still love you. But I love you ridiculous amounts. Probably something like that, because, yeah, we call each other, like, slag and, like, cunt, and it's just... I don't know if anyone else has a relationship like that with their stepmom, but I just think it's brilliant. I just love it.
It is brilliant. Your siblings, do you all feel that way, or is it, like, special between you and her?
No, I mean, like, not that they're, like, they don't get on or anything, like... But it's just, I think we do have a special bond. It's, yeah, it's nice.
My mum's parents got divorced when in the 1950s, totally unheard of. And my nan remarried when she was 70, and my granddad and my step-granddad were best friends. They didn't know each other before, but they became just like the best friends in the whole world and got on with each other really well. But I mean, my nan had been divorced from him for like 15, 20 years by the time they got together. So, like, you know. And he was a rogue to my nan, so it was, you know, there was no love lost. So it was, but they were like best friends, and I really, and he wrote him into the will that he had to be able to live in the house. Yeah, you know, like, it's an unusual story.
Oh, wow.
But families are weird now. Blended families are much more common, and it's much, you know, people are much more civilized about this sort of thing these days. Like, that he had to be able to live in the house. Yeah, you know, like, it's an unusual story.
Yeah.
But families are weird now. Blended families are much more common. And it's much, you know, people are much more civilized about this sort of thing these days. Like, and that's a good thing, because it used to be, even in the 80s when I was a kid, let alone in the 50s when my mum's parents got divorced, it was tense. It was much more tense that people came... Like stepbrothers and stepsisters. And I suppose that's where all that horrible literature comes from.
Yeah.
But
we do need to change that narrative, though. You're right, because it's not true, is it? And
no.
I think, like, yeah, like, my relationship with Maria is proof that, like, it can work and be more than just work. It can be, you know, really, like, enriching and like, life enhancing.
Yeah. Good old Maria. She sounds, by the way, total fucking legend.
You would love her,
really,
honestly.
Really feel like we should hang out.
She'd like,
I'm happy for her to cook me a dinner, and I am never knowingly underfed. because even when I'm on some ridiculous diet, even in those circumstances, I was raised that if you go to somebody's house, it doesn't matter if you're a vegetarian. My mum said, it's only chicken nuggets, just eat it. she said, if someone makes you meat, you eat it. Like, you know, I would never, ever feel that I could put upon somebody my own ridiculous neuroses. You eat what you give. Even if I was on a ridiculous diet, she could cater for me. So, the second person we asked you to think about was somebody who's no longer around. So, who would that be?
So, I don't want to jinx this, but I've been really lucky in my life and I haven't lost anyone really close to me. But my granddad, so my dad's dad, died when my nan was pregnant with my dad.
Oh, same as my dad. My dad never met his dad, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because he died before he was born. He was 19.
Yeah, I don't think he was much older, my granddad. And him and my nan had been trying for my dad for 5 years. And funnily enough, her dad died in a motorbike accident when her mum was pregnant. And then the same thing, yeah, happened. So when my mum was pregnant, you know, she was like terrified. My dad was, you know, like thinking, oh God, like, is it going to happen to me sort of thing? Not that he's superstitious. But it's weird because I think like sometimes when... this might sound really insensitive, but I think sometimes when people die, we kind of romanticise them
and their life a little bit or a lot.
Mm. But it's really weird. I think like getting the kind of sense that I do about my granddad, his name was Huey. I talk to like family about him a lot. And so my dad does as well. And, you know, I just genuinely get the sense that he was a really lovely, kind man. He served in the RAF. And was very popular, like had loads of friends and was just really good to my nan. Like they were just really, everyone just says how madly, madly in love they were. Mm. And like, it's weird like how someone can have a legacy with like, that you've never met. Mm. But like my dad says to me, my dad's like a self-employed bricklayer, like very working class, like proper, like him and Maria, like knees up mother brown, like that kind of thing. And he cries all the time because he's like, I just miss him. And it's weird how you can miss someone that you've never met. Because like, I think about him every single day. And I remember one Father's Day. So we've got this really ridiculous, horrible tradition. Every Father's Day, we drive an hour to Dover and we get in the sea, me, my dad and my brother.
That is mad.
It's ridiculous. It's freezing cold. But we have this tradition and I don't know why or even how it started. I remember one Father's Day driving down and then that song, Luther Vandross, Dance With My Father Again, came on.
Oh, yeah.
And all three of us, without even looking at each other or saying a word, were just like crying, like snot bubble crying. Weird how music can do that to you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, I would love to meet him. I would love, more importantly, I would just love my dad to get to finally meet him because...
God, that is just so, yeah. That is just so much unsaid. Did your nan go on to remarry?
She did, but it was a very... I don't really know like how much to say. It was not a nice relationship. It wasn't a nice man.
See, my dad's nan, my dad's mom, my grandma Peggy, she remarried when my dad was like 6 years old. And this was in like, you know, the early 1950s to a lovely, lovely man who was, as far as I was concerned, was my granddad. And as far as my dad was concerned, was his dad. Not as far as he was concerned, he was his dad.
Yeah.
Again, another example of a good step-parent, terribly written about. And so my dad never really... felt the gap, I suppose, of a father figure in his life because he had one.
Yeah.
But also, he was always like, I don't want to romanticise this man because it's sort of like it would be an insult to his father and his brother,
right.
Who was a brother from his stepdad. I don't think he did feel that gap in his life, but I suppose this podcast is all about things unsaid. And having never met your father... It must be like only your imagination and the things that you've been told, the world that has been created, is the one you have. And there must be so much you want to fill it with. It must be really hard that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it. I can't imagine like that much unsaid. It's like, because it's everything.
Yeah. And like, even like on my wedding day, he was like, oh, I just wish he was here. Like, it's weird, like, even he's like, I know it's weird, and he's not...
It is weird, but it's kind of nice. I like it. I like it. It's not an experience I've ever heard before, even though I have a similar familial experience. Joe Cox, the MP, was killed. She was my friend. Like, sad. If you were to read about her, it's like she was the greatest saint on earth, like, literally. And, you know, I love the woman, don't get me wrong, but she was also a bit of a pain in the arse about some things. Like, you know, no one ever says when someone's, like, murdered or dies suddenly, when you're doing the vox pops of the neighbours. So people either say one of two things, that how lovely people were, or that they kept themselves to themselves. Those are the two options for the neighbour of a dead person.
I always think that. I always think that at funerals. And it's like, did you just get this script off of Google? Like, they were like, they were loving. They were like, how boring it is, isn't it?
Exactly. Like, I'm having to write the eulogy of my mother-in-law at the moment. And I am really, really, like, certain about putting in stuff that is the reality of her, you know. She was not always polite to waiting staff. Not in a bad way, but she didn't have that British thing where, you know, when people say, is everything all right? And you go, yeah, everything's fine. She was like, well, no, actually, this was a little dry, and this should have been warmer, and this was better the last time I came. That's embarrassing, but okay.
But that's what makes a person. We're all human. Like I said, like, let's not romanticise it. Like, I often think about that if, like, when my nan goes, because she's, you know, she's 85, she's getting on a bit, and she's lovely, but she can be quite difficult. And I just remember I always, I don't know why, maybe that's a bit morbid, but thinking, like, if I was to ever speak at a funeral, like, I wouldn't just be like, oh, she was the best. She is the best nan, because she's my nan. She's amazing. But I think also it's really important to go, she was so scatty. She's always, like, late. She'd always forget whose Christmas presents were what. Because that's what you remember, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what makes a person.
Yeah.
It's much better. And when you have an absence of that, because you never got to know them, you will only ever hear the good stuff. And that is a big void, I think.
Yeah.
That makes the absence greater, actually, for your dad, the alternative, you know, knowing even just something slightly, like, amusing or bad, negative about somebody actually builds a real person. And that is a big absence. So what would you say then to your granddad, Huey? It's a great name. I mean, he started having a great name, Huey. He sounds like a lovely person.
Yeah.
What would you say if you could write him a letter?
Oh, I feel myself get really emotional. I didn't expect that. Sorry.
It happens to literally everybody.
Oh, I would just say that, like, we miss you. And that, like, I suppose just that everyone's okay. But that you're, like, your legacy is, like, really kind of, like, lived on in us and my dad, and I thank you so much for my dad, because he's my absolute world and my hero, and I just would be so, so lost without him. I would just say that, and maybe meet you one day for a pint.
Yeah.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've just been watching The Good Place with my kids, and I don't believe in the afterlife or anything. I believe here is where my family should be with me. But there is a little part of me that thinks it would be nice if we could just hang out later on. That I'm happy to hold on to. What that looks like, I don't know, but I'm happy to think, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe that's the case. It would be better if it was, wasn't it?
Oh, it would be nice.
Although then you'd be stuck with them for eternity.
Oh, that's true.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So, the final person is somebody who doesn't know what an effect they've had on your life. So, who would that be?
Oh god, I found myself literally dying with embarrassment saying this, right? But you know, like we talk about like role models and things like that. But so when I was growing up, like I was, like I said, I was like the fat kid. I felt like a complete outsider. And I just found, I remember hearing Pink, the singer, her second album, Misunderstood, for the first time, and the song Family Portrait, and I was just like, oh my god, because like my mum and dad didn't get on and they were always rowing and stuff, and I was like, oh my god, I feel seen. And I think every teenager feels like they're not seen or heard or represented, but for the first time I was like, oh my god, this woman's incredible, she's so empowering. And I think I struggled a lot with my sexuality as well when I was younger. I was really confused, and she just made me feel like it was okay to be a freak. And it's, I think I feel so lucky in that it's really rare that like the person that you loved music wise as a child, that like even now I still absolutely fucking love her and her music, like maybe even more so. I feel like I've sort of grown with her and her music and stuff. And I found that on the darkest days of my life and that, I just listen to her music and it just makes me feel like, it just makes me feel so much better about
you
everything.
You shouldn't feel embarrassed by this. Other people have said like Taylor Swift or like, you know.
Oh, I feel much better.
Yeah, no, not everybody. I mean, some people are like, I read this amazing, like, you know, academic document and it changed my career and all this, and this person who wrote it would never know. Some people say that, but you know, largely this section is the Taylor Swift section. Pink is a really, really good choice. Yeah, it's funny when you sort of grow up with... Many of the people who I really liked when I was a kid died.
Oh.
You know, like I was a massive Nirvana fan and Kurt Cobain killed himself. And yeah, I mean, I was... how old are you, Laura?
32.
Yeah, see, I've nearly got 10 years on you. So I was in the era of very, very big drug-taking rock stars, the grungy 90s. And they did not get to grow up with me. They ceased to exist in most of the cases. So, or they just got like ridiculous. So that is really nice that you feel like, it's funny, isn't it? Great art. And, you know, lots of people would be really snotty about this, but I think that great art, or when I'm reading a book that I think is, when it feels like it's talking to you.
Yeah.
Even though obviously I know, I once went to see De La Soul at a music festival and I swear to God they were singing it to me, literally looking at me. But that's the skill of great art, is to make people feel that it's for you. Like, oh, you're talking to me. Like, that is, although I recently read a book that I'd spoken to the author about, and it was about a member of parliament who gets loads of threats. And I was like, oh, I'm having that experience where I feel like this is talking to me because this is about me. And then I went, It was considerably more freaky that way round. But it's, yeah, I think that that's great art.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a skill, isn't it? It is. It's a talent. But yeah, she just seems really human and like really down to earth. I feel like fame hasn't really affected her. Like, she's just such a badass and she just doesn't give a shit what other people think. And so like when I'm kind of in my head or whatever, I always just try and think like, oh, you know, be a bit more like her sort of thing, you know. Yeah, I just think she's awesome.
I think she would probably say to you, oh, don't be like me. I'm rubbish. Like, you know, be like you. You're probably better. Like, that's the impression I get, that like, she doesn't have that much of a bab on herself. Like,
yeah, I don't think she's got. Yeah. She's not. Yeah, I don't think she's arrogant. Like, I like. It's just one of those things. Like, I always think. Like, I'm always talking about like creating a social media feed because like there's a lot of wankers online and Instagram, especially. Like, look at me living my best life. Like, fuck off. Don't care. whereas I think she's very much like, I'd love to have a pint with her. And my philosophy is, if I wouldn't have a pint with you in the pub, I don't follow you on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I just would love to have a pint or ten with her because I think she'd be great fun. I really do.
She wrote that, the one recently, and I'm basing this entirely on listening to the radio in my car. It's about her daughter. Telling her daughter, like, you know, I wasn't always this, like, she's literally saying that, like, I wasn't always brave, and I wasn't like, that
I
is
love
important.
That song.
Yeah,
that song gives me chills. I actually did a video to that song. So I went on holiday to Mexico recently and I was like, I've never worn a bikini in my life. Like, just didn't think that a bikini was for people like me. And if I see people in bikini pictures, then they're always like very slim and they've got their hair all done, the makeup done. So me and my size 26 frame, I just got on the beach, greasy hair, no makeup, and was like, there you go, guts out, fantastic. And then I did like a little video to that song because, and it is like thanks to people like her that just give me the confidence to go like, oh, do you know what? You're a long time dead. Like, we are what we are. Let's normalise normal bodies. But yeah, I love that song. I think it's awesome.
It is awesome.
So empowering.
Yeah, like, you know, isn't it? It starts, I wasn't born a renegade. That's right, isn't it? Like, you know, and that's, and people often are like, say to me, oh, you know, you're really brave and you do this, that, and the other, and like, how do you do it? And I just want to say, I wasn't born this, like, it's, there's nothing special, like, about, like, anyone can be brave and, like, brilliant, and we should just trust ourselves a little bit more.
Yeah.
Nobody is born like with some sort of innate pedestal. It's really important to remember. Oh, good old Pink.
Love her.
Oh, and also you don't see a lot of her like life, do you? Maybe I'm just not paying attention. It could be the case.
No.
I couldn't name a Kardashian.
No, yeah, she doesn't share those.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, you don't see... I'm not, like, aware of what she's getting up to other than the music that plays on my radio.
She's not like Kim Kardashian and, like, all of that lot. Yeah, no, I think she's fairly
private. All the Kardashians
private.
Are the same to me. I've got to be honest. I literally couldn't point one out in a lineup. I think I could recognise somebody and say, are they a Kardashian? But I wouldn't be able to tell you which one was which if my life depended on it, which would be a weird situation to be
weird,
in.
Wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
Which is this Kardashian? Otherwise, we're going to kill you.
Gun to your head. We're going to kill you. Your whole family.
Kylie. Is there even one called Kylie? I don't even know.
I think so, yeah.
And with some Jenner ones as well. They're different. That's Kylie. Kylie's a Jenner.
Kylie Jenner and is it Kendall Jenner? Yeah,
could
they're
be.
Two sisters.
Could be.
And then you've
I'll
got
take your word for it.
I don't know. I really don't like to trash women or people, but especially women. But I can't fucking stand them.
I have no strong feelings because I don't know really what
get in the bin.
I don't know what they
do.
I don't know what they're about. I don't
Nothing.
Really know.
They're literally about looking fake and they talk like this and they're just like so vacuous and annoying. Honestly, just fuck off. Get a job. Get a job. Do one.
My mum used to say that person takes up space that could be filled with very beautiful furniture.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Maria, my stepmom says
that could be filled with beautiful art.
Yeah, that's good. Maria, my stepmom used to say that people are a waste of oxygen.
It's the same thing.
Same thing. Yeah. That's probably a little
a
bit.
Really
harsh.
Useful chest of drawers could go where you're taking up that space, and that would be useful to the world.
Oh, I absolutely love that. I'm going to remember that one.
Yeah, just think that when someone's being rude to you, just think a Welsh dresser would be more important to the world than you. You'd have to be quite a big person to be taking up the space of a Welsh dresser.
Videos of like Beating the Beast, you know, where the furniture comes to life now and they've got like these big broad shoulders.
Yeah. A Welsh dresser person is really taking up far too much space.
Yeah.
Well, you have to sign off your letter to Pink. How would you sign off your letter to Pink?
I think I would just be like, thank you so much for like the music and for keeping it real. And oh, I sound really cheesy and American, but like, just, yeah, just a big fat thank you from me for like making life better and making fantastic music and making me feel like less alone and that it's also okay to be a bit weird and a bit of a freak. Because all the best people are, aren't they?
Oh, all the people are, one way or another. All the people are a bit freaky, one way or another. I don't believe there's anyone who hasn't got like a weird thing they do that they wouldn't want anyone else to know about. Well, Laura, it has been a total genuine pleasure to talk to you. And
likewise.
I say that to everyone and I really mean it.
When are you... Whatever. When are you going to do CBeebies bedtime stories? I ain't got kids, so that would just be weird if I listened to that. But you need to do that.
Because of my voice, to get people to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll suggest it to the team of CBeebies.
Do.
It's Tom Hardy. It's his whole gig now. It's just Tom Hardy reads bedtime stories to middle-aged moms, essentially, is what CBeebies bedroom hour has become, I think.
Yeah, anything to get them through the day, I guess.
Well, thanks for saying you like my voice. I think you might be literally the only person who's ever said that to me in my whole life. But
you're welcome.
I'll take it.
Take it, yeah. Thank you so much for having me. It's been really good
worries.
Fun.
It's my pleasure.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.